Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with the tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to the Lord, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea." So the last Sunday of 2015, and as 1 year comes to a close, and as it were we stand on the borders of a new year, looking at the territory that might be ahead of us, actually it's true, isn't it, that there are many uncertainties about the year ahead. There are many things that we just do not know about 2016. And that's always the truth, isn't it? Who knows what the year ahead holds? Who knows what it holds for you as an individual?
You can't remember tomorrow, can you?
No, that's right. So who knows, though, what it holds for you as an individual? And who knows what it holds for us as a church family? We just don't know. As we stand on the borders of a new year, there are plenty of unknowns. Who knows what choices you will have to face this year? Who knows what big decisions you will have to make? Who knows what troubles that you will encounter in the year ahead? Who knows what joys, what things that will cause your heart to sing in the coming year? None of us really knows. There are many uncertainties about 2016. But I want to say this morning, using these words of Moses, that there are a number of things that actually, as believers in our Lord Jesus, that we can say with certainty about 2016. There are a number of things that as a Christian, that is someone who is trusting in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, there is something that a Christian can say with certainty about 2016. And their words we find in verse 13 of Exodus 15. This is what it says. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The first thing that a Christian can say with confidence about 2016 is this: Jesus will lead me. That is the first thing that a believer can say in 2016. That is true for you if you are an individual Christian. It is true for us as a group of Christians, a church family. It is true whatever 2016 holds for you, whatever route it takes, whether that's happy times or hard times. This is something that is absolutely certain. Jesus will lead his people, his saved, redeemed people. I was in central London just the other day for a meeting. And as I was there, I was walking along and I saw a tourist group. And there was a man who had a yellow umbrella. And it was this yellow umbrella that was leading the group. Or well, not was the man holding the yellow umbrella. But you see, every time he moved with this yellow umbrella, what happened? The group moved with him. Every time he spoke, what happened? The crowd gathered in and they listened. This man with the yellow umbrella was totally in control of where this group of tourists ended up. The leader showed them the way to go. The leader spoke to them that they might understand what was they were seeing. The leader was in control of where they ended up at any given point. Now, in many ways, this man with the yellow umbrella is a very helpful image of us, of the Lord Jesus, as we enter 2016. Jesus is like the man with the yellow umbrella for his people, setting the lead. He will show us where to go. He will show us by teaching us what's right and what's wrong with his words. And he is totally in control of where we end up. What we need to do is follow. And this is the experience that Moses has in the story surrounding Exodus 15. When he says these words, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you've redeemed." This is an experience that he has. Exodus contains this dramatic story of the Lord redeeming his people from slavery in Egypt. With a mighty hand, we're told, and an outstretched arm, he rescues this people from their captivity to the Egyptians. And what does he do with them? Once he's performed this spectacular rescue, what does he do with them? Does he just leave them? No, he leads them. He shows them the way. So if you're familiar with the story, you'll know that there's a pillar of cloud that travels in front of them, that becomes a pillar of fire at night. He physically leads them where they're walking, the man with the yellow umbrella. He speaks to them through his prophet Moses. He tells them what to do. He gives them instructions. And what do the people of God do? They listen. He calls them to trust him. And he's in total control of where they end up. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but who was leading them when he led them to the edge of the Red Sea? It was God, wasn't it? He led them to a place where they had a raging sea on one side and an enemy pressing in behind them. It would be very easy to think at that point God's abandoned them. But he hasn't. He was leading them. He was in total control of where they ended up. And as Moses bursts into song on the edge of the Red Sea, he says it's because of what God has done for them that he can be totally confident of what God will do for them. He stands as someone confident in the unwavering love of God for him and for his people. You see, if God loved his people enough to redeem them from Egypt, he will love them enough to lead them as they travel on. It's the same love that means he will now lead them as they're traveling through, whatever it holds ahead of them. And the same is true for us as Christians. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus with your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins, the same is true for us. We are a redeemed people. Look again at verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. We're redeemed not from Egypt, but from our sins. We're redeemed by the Lord Jesus who gave himself at the cross to redeem for himself a people, to set free for himself a people. He sets us free from our sins. What does that mean? Sets us free from our sins. I still sin. What does it mean? Well, he sets us free from the debt of our sins. He clears our sins. The forgiveness of our sins. He wipes the board clean, as it were, of this huge debt that we owe God. I am set free from the consequences of my sins. And I'm set free from the slavery to death. Why is death slavery? Because we carry into death this huge pile of sins with us. But in Jesus, that's forgiven. And the sting of death is removed. We no longer fear death because we don't fear judgment anymore. We're set free. Do you see that? That is redemption. That is the redemption that we enjoy. And Jesus gave his life at the cross for us to enjoy that redemption. We are his redeemed people. And those he redeems, those he gives his life for. Look again at verse 13 of Exodus 15. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. What Jesus has done for us at the cross should give us great confidence about what he will do for us in 2016. Romans 8, kind of a mountain peak, as it were, of the New Testament, a high point of all good things. It puts it like this: he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? Many of you will be familiar with that verse, but what's it saying? Well, because of what God did do 2,000 years ago as he sent his son into this world, because of that, you can be absolutely certain of what he will do. If he did not spare his own son, why would he not lead you in 2016? Why would he not give you everything you need for the year that's ahead? We can say with confidence in 2016 that Jesus will lead his people. You can make that personal. He will lead me. That is what you can say with confidence. There's not many things you can say with confidence about 2016. But you can say he will lead me. He will show me where to go. He will instruct me on what to do. He is in total control of where I end up. And so what does that mean if we're to put that into practice? If we're to say that, what does that look like in 2016? Can I put it very simply? It means stay close to the man with the yellow umbrella. Don't go off on your own. Jesus is the man with the yellow umbrella. He's the one leading us as a group of people. So don't go wandering off from him. What does that mean? Well, it means listening to his instructions. It means staying close where you can hear his voice. He leads us in the path of obedience. He guides us in the way that we should go. When we don't know what to do, where do we turn? Well, we turn to the one who does know what to do. We turn to his words. He helps us in our parenting. I can imagine that I'm going to be scratching my head lots in 2016 as a parent. What do I do? He helps us in our relationships with other people. He helps us in our marriages. He helps us in our work to know what to do when things are hard or good. You know, how do we deal with success? You know, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, is the one who leads us and guides us. We pray to him. We pray regularly. That's what it means that we're confident he'll lead us, because we want him to show us the way. When we come to junctions in our life, you follow the one who leads. We follow his example. We must read the Gospels lots. I try to make a habit of it personally, of always having one of the Gospels on the go in my Bible times. So there are other chapters as well. So yes, get the whole of the Bible in, it's good. But always try and be reading a Gospel. Why? Because Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And nowhere do you see humanity lived out more faithfully, more true, more perfect than in the life of Jesus. So read the life of Jesus. Stick with the Gospels, because then you'll follow his lead. He's the captain of our salvation. And make time for his words. You can't be led by someone if you're not listening to them. There's nothing worse, is there, than trying to lead a group of children somewhere. And I've got experience of this. Trying to walk down the street and heading in a direction, and people are shooting off because they're not listening to where you're going. You know, Ethan turned down a street the other day and we all turned around and there he was halfway down this road because he thought he knew the way. He wasn't listening to where we were going. We must make time for the words of the one who leads us. And probably just to add some clarity here, you know, some people kind of get a bit carried away with the leading idea. You know, Jesus isn't talking here about leading you to what colour socks you put on in the morning or what you're going to eat for tea in the evening. The lead of the Lord Jesus is about a lead in obedience. It's about our patterns of life. It is about his wisdom for what we do. And actually, the Bible says that he gives us wisdom. He gives us his spirit. And lots of choices he leaves us free to make with those good things that he's given us. But basically, the truth of this is you've got to stick close to the one with the yellow umbrella. And so in 2016, as an individual, stay close to Jesus. In 2016, please, Lord, would we be a church that sticks close to the man with the yellow umbrella, following his lead, listening to his words. When he says go, we go. When he says stay, we stay. We've got to listen to him. And the second thing that this means, if Jesus is leading us, is that for 2016, what it means is that as an individual and as a church family, we've got to trust that where he takes us is where he wants us to be. Now, that can be quite hard to understand, but let me put it like this. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever tried driving with a sat-nav, but sometimes it takes you in the strangest of directions. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. You know, you think you know where you're going, and you're driving along, and you know, I remember once me and Emma were trying to get to some zoo once with the kids, and it took us through these really random lanes, and I thought, oh, it's gone wrong, and I kept saying, oh, it's gone wrong, you know, we should turn back, it's gone wrong. But actually, in the weirdness of all these country lanes, we suddenly popped out next to the zoo. It was really, really bizarre, which was in a really built-up area. But the directions it took us were not the ones I expected, but it was taking us. I'd punched in my destination. It knew where it was taking us. It just didn't take me the way I expected. And the same is true of Jesus. He doesn't just lead us with his words. But sometimes it's good to understand that the Lord Jesus leads us with his hand. Did you understand the distinction? So sometimes he tells us what to do. Sometimes he just puts us there. Sometimes he just guides us to places. And we have to trust that. The big Bible word for that is sovereignty. God's control of all things, where we end up, what we do. So if we enter 2016 as a follower of Jesus with a job, that's where he's put you. If you enter it without a job, that's where he's put you for this time being. If we enter 2016, we live next to a group of people. We must trust his hand has put us amongst the people that he wants us to live amongst. If we have health issues in 2016, as hard as this may be to hear, we trust in the guiding hand of God, don't we? That is where he wants us to be for a given point in time. If we have good health, that's where he wants us to be in 2016. It changes the way you think about it, that the Lord Jesus leads us, and where we end up is where he wants us to be for a given moment, a season of our life. And if we believe that Jesus is leading his people, if you really believe that, if you take these words of Moses and say, yeah, I get that, that is true, then we must see that, we must trust that where he has us is where he wants us. Even if that's a hard place. Can I just illustrate that again with the story of Exodus? You know, think, what would the Israelites have said if you'd have asked them? When they were standing, they were absolutely terrified, it tells us, as they stood on the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptians closing in behind them. But who had put them there? The Lord had led them to the edge of the Red Sea. The Lord knew what was best for them, and the Lord then delivered them out of it. But at that moment in time, they were not in an easy place. They were terrified. They were shouting at Moses, sort it out. Why did you bring us out here to die? They couldn't see it, but as believers in our Lord Jesus, even when it's hard, we have to trust that he is, he's put us where he wants us. And so we can say with confidence as a Christian in 2016, Jesus will lead me. Jesus will lead us. And whatever this year holds, because of his devoted, unfailing love that led the Lord Jesus to the cross for us, he will lead us. He will put us where he wants us to be. He will guide us with his words. So that's the first thing we can say with confidence in 2016. The second is this: Jesus will get me to heaven. Now, it may not be, please don't misunderstand this, it may not be in 2016 that you get to heaven, but what is happening in 2016 is that he is getting us to heaven, and he will get us there. Go back to my sat-nav illustration. Sometimes, like I told you, it takes very odd paths, but the point of a sat-nav is that it is taking you to a destination. There is a postcode that you've punched in, or a sightseeing place that you've punched in. And where is it taking you? It's got its eyes, its computer, as it were, fixed on the destination. And it will get you there, even if it has to go around several places to get you there. But it will get you to your destination. That's what it's made for. Now, in the same way, the Lord Jesus is leading his redeemed people somewhere to a destination. And that destination is heaven, or a new heavens and a new earth, as it calls it. His home, his dwelling place. Just look again at the second half of verse 13. In your strength, Moses says, you will guide, this is your redeemed people, that's the them, to your holy dwelling. You will guide them to your holy dwelling. Now for Moses and his redeemed people, he led them out of Egypt and he was leading them to a place called Canaan, which was their promised land. But what was this place? Well, this was the place where God was once again going to close the gap between heaven and earth. Once again, he was going to live among them, just as he did back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 2, 1 and 2, as he walked with them in the garden. And he takes them to this place that he had chosen of the places on earth to make his holy dwelling. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And this was the place that they were going to live together. This was his holy dwelling. And in part, that gives us a picture of what he's promised for us. Not a land, but he's promised us his holy dwelling, a place where God and man will live together. The great divorce that happened in Genesis 3 between heaven and earth is put back together again in heaven. And where is he leading his redeemed people? He is leading us. He is leading us to his holy dwelling. He is leading us to the place where heaven and earth is closed and God walks among his people again. And he says over his people, I will be your God and you will be my people. That is where he is taking us. That is where he is leading us. And he is leading us with his strength. And Moses, as he stands on the edge of the Red Sea, in his total confidence in this truth, you see, he understands, and here's the same thing. He understands that because of what God has done, this display of his mighty strength as he's just rescued them from Egypt, as he's just held the pursuing enemy into the sea, because of what he has done, because of that strength, he is absolutely confident that the same strength will lead them to the place where they're going. And actually, it's the same for us. Now, can I just look at the first half and the second half of verse 13? Because you might think in some ways that to lead and to guide are the same word. And in many ways they are. They mean the same thing. But actually, can I tell you there is a slight shade of difference that's worth pointing out? Because to guide in the original, in the Hebrew here, is a word that means lead with gentleness. So it's a word often used if a shepherd was shepherding a flock that had young with them, that needed special attention, that couldn't be driven hard for many miles because they were nursing sheep and their babies. It's this idea of gentleness. It carries the idea of to lead and to guide and to protect. That's what's bundled into this guiding idea. And actually that is true for what Moses experienced. He protected and he provided for his people. Along the way to this promised land, there were many enemies. Along the way, there was much need for food. And what did the Lord do? He guided them. In his strength, he protected them from the enemies and he provided what they needed to eat. And it is this certainty that he will protect us as we head to heaven that we can have as a Christian here this morning. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, you can be sure that in his strength, he will guide you, protect you, provide for you so that you get to heaven. That is our confidence in 2016. He will guide us. The road can be rough. You guys know that. We've just done a year. You'll know that as a believer in the Lord Jesus, the road can be rough sometimes. It can be rough just through living in a broken and a fallen world. It can be rough because there are people who are against Jesus and what he stands for. And it can be a rough ride. And what do we need along that way? We need protection. It can be many enemies. The New Testament tells us that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That is true. That is the reality. You need protection. I need protection along the way. And what is my confidence in 2016? That as I stand firm in the Lord Jesus, in his strength, he will guard me as I travel to heaven. The Lord Jesus protects and provides for his people. And friends, we need to hear that this morning. Peter tells us that Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, is shielding us. That's the word. It's a brilliant word. He shields us by faith for the day that is coming. Paul tells us that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. This is our confidence in 2016. Not an arrogant confidence, but a confidence in Jesus. Jesus says of the believer that no one will snatch them out of my hand. None that the Father has given me will be lost. And believer, that is you. You are in the hand of Jesus, protected, provided for, as you journey to heaven. Whatever 2016 holds for you, he will guide you to heaven. He will protect you on the way. And again, notice this. It is what God has done for us that gives us certainty of what he will do for us in 2016. Romans 8 again puts it like this. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is the truth of 2016. If God is for us in 2016, who can be against us? And why can we be certain he's for us? Because he gave his own son for people like you and us, me, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be heading on this journey to heaven. A Christian can say with confidence in 2016 that Jesus will lead me and Jesus will guide me to heaven. So what does that mean? Well, so like sticking with the man with the yellow umbrella, let me put it another way. You rely on the one who's strong. We so look at ourselves all the time, don't we? I'm like this. We look in for our inner strength. When things are hard, oh, come on, you know, man up. Let's try and do it. But actually, we're not to do that as Christians. We're to look to Jesus. He's the strong one. Look at the words again. In your strength. There's a verse in the Bible that says, seek the Lord, seek his face and his strength always. We're to be looking to him constantly. Amazing grace. You know the hymn? It has a verse that goes like this. Many of you will know it. It says, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. But grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. That's looking to Jesus for strength, not to ourselves. And so when you have your battles with sin this year, and you will, I will. When we battle with sin, the sin that Hebrews describes as the sin that so easily entangles and ensnares us, where do you look? You look to the one who's strong. And you say, Jesus, this sin, this battle I'm having with whatever sin it might be is too strong for me, but I look to you. You are the strong one. And I want your help. I want your strength. Guide me, protect me to heaven. When you're weary in your faith, when it's hard to keep trusting because of the circumstances in your life, when you're tired of praying because nothing seems to happen, then friends, please look at Jesus. Feed on Jesus, the strong one. Don't look to others around you. Don't look to other solutions. Look to Jesus. In your strength, you will guide your people to your holy dwelling. Remind yourself that he knows your every weakness. He was made like us in every way, and yet was without sin. So where do you look? You look to the one who really can help you. You look to the strong one. When it is tough to be a Christian because you get pressure at work for speaking up, or you have to be silenced, or people don't like the message that Jesus is the only way to be saved, where do you look? You look to the strong one. You look to the one who provides and protects for his people. And friends, as we stand at the end of one year and we stand at the beginning of a new, a Christian can say with total confidence that Jesus will lead us and Jesus will get us to heaven. Nothing will take us from his hand. And if you're here this morning and as yet you don't know those certainties about 2016, then can I call you this morning to ask the Lord Jesus to redeem you, to set you free, and to put you on the path to heaven, the path he's leading us on, the path he protects us on. Call to Jesus, our Redeemer. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for a few moments.